A man who likes nothing better than large hail and damaging winds, because it means he gets to go out and plant more new stuff. Tom Casper, our host for Tips for Hardy Gardeners. Good morning there,
hey,
Sunshine.
No, wait a second.
Well, doesn't that make sense? You get to go plant more new stuff.
That's true. That's true that I would. But it's kind of nice to see the stuff that I've planted sort of get to mature size and be big and beautiful. And
yeah, okay, all right.
Color and produce food and things like that.
Yeah, I guess that makes some sense. Okay. Now, it strikes me with the weather that we've had, we have, you know, several days of sunshine and really warm, and then we get a rain, and then we get more sunshine and more warm, and that you probably walk out of your door in the morning armed with a hoe, and you just have to, like, beat back the vegetation because everything's growing like nuts.
Well, it certainly the last couple of weeks have been pretty ideal for us gardeners, seeing a lot of growth on plant materials and lots of flowers and putting on of size and things like that. But it also, of course, has its challenges. Folks are dealing a lot now with funguses. Botrytis on peonies has been pretty significant, and folks who are growing roses are dealing with black spot and all sorts of things like that. So, and then of course the insect problems. This isn't supposed to be about bad news.
Well,
the insect problems are pretty significant.
I didn't bring it up.
Well, I had no choice.
Yeah. Okay. All right. So, significant insect problems.
Yes. Things like aphids, spider mites, earwigs, all those kinds of things are very, very prevalent this year in people's gardens, and a lot of times people won't see them. They'll comment on how come their flowers don't look as good, or their plants have holes in them, or the flowers aren't lasting very long. And oftentimes there's an alternative or an ulterior reason why the plant is not doing as well as people think it is. And oftentimes it has to do with insects. And a lot of times it's ones we don't see. They might be microscopic, like spider mites. Or they might be nocturnal, like earwigs or slugs. Of course, slugs aren't an insect, but things that are doing damage that we don't even see unless we're there at certain times or under looking at it under a magnifying glass, things like that.
If you don't have anything that lives in your house, I'm sure that there are appropriate birds, but if you don't have anything that lives in your house or yard that wants to go munch these insects right off the plants, what are some suggestions? Because folks want to strike a balance between, please don't eat my roses and peonies and things, and I want to blast the entire yard with chemicals, but I know that's not appropriate anymore. So what do I do?
That's a great question. Did you just think of that?
I did, with my own tiny brain. Yeah.
It's your brain is. Anyway.
Ladybugs? Are ladybugs the answer?
That's a great response to dealing with aphids in the garden. Ladybugs are very, very aggressive, voracious eaters who consume aphids by the thousands. And not only do they as adults, but they do as larvae or immature insects, I should say. So they're in all stages of their life doing a lot of ladybug consumption. So encouraging ladybugs to do their work. You can also, in the case of aphids or spider mites, with some good pressure on a water hose, not enough to do damage to the plant, but enough to dislodge insects, you can hose your plants down and knock a lot of those things off, and they will struggle to get back onto the plant. So if you want to go to the use of something to control them, there's a product called insecticidal soap, which is completely OMRI or organic gardening certified. And it's basically just a soap that coats the insect and here we go, but suffocates them.
This show is really Greek drama this morning.
Yes, it is. There, you know, it isn't all Shangri-La in the garden.
I mean, they talk about dog eat dog, and they talk about, you know, the struggles of life and death, and yeah. Well, not only that, then everything, you know, your plants, what, look all squeaky clean then, too? And are they shiny and manageable?
Yeah, it adds a little sheen, and they're a little fresher.
Okay,
insecticidal soap is a good organic alternative in the control of aphids, and you probably will have to apply it a few times over the course of a couple weeks to really get good control. It's also very safe for other insects that people might worry about. There's a lot of talk about bees and butterflies and things like that, and the impact that some of the chemicals that people are using have had on those. Insecticidal soap is completely safe around them and can be reapplied as needed and things like that. And folks can get that at our many places, but certainly our favorite little hardware store out in East Duluth has it. Works very, very effectively and a good alternative to reaching for some of the chemicals our parents used to use.
Well, you know, once in a while you get frustrated and you just want to grab, you know, like I say, just want to blast something with chemicals. There's a certain gratification of, I will solve this problem now. But when we know better, we do better. So
yeah,
we're trying to learn.
I had that yesterday with some weeds and fired up my weed-burning torch, which, of course, is, in my mind, much better use than using a chemical to kill all the weeds
right, and
spray that around.
Well, and there's a certain amount of gratification with fire, too, if you're that kind of person. You got to be really careful you don't set something else on fire inadvertently. But
that's true.
All right, so once upon a time, we actually had an earwig down at the radio station, and down here in the basement, occasionally we get some goofy little beasts that come in, and I have to say that as much as I like to paint myself as an animal lover, I just sort of lost it, okay? This is a frightening-looking thing. It can't hurt you, but it's frightening-looking, and I didn't like it. And what eats earwigs? We need some at the radio station.
Yeah, it can hurt you. It has those back pinchers, which are mainly it uses for defense. And if folks haven't seen them, they can Google it. They're up to an inch long, and they're really, really infesting our gardens and even homes. They're in people's houses and things like that. Diatomaceous earth, again, another organic control for earwigs, is very, very commonly used in the South, because what happens is the earwigs walk through it, and it, again, does things to them. But it's basically prehistoric crushed-up seashells that are very sharp and jagged and in a very, very powdered form.
And what, they walk across this and then they go someplace and bleed quietly to death?
Are we still on the radio?
I don't know.
Yes.
This is horrible. I mean, I'm not a huge big... I mean, isn't there some kind of a nice fuzzy animal that you could adopt from your local shelter that would eat earwigs? Of course, many people do have dogs and cats that they find spend much of the summer eating insects for some weird reason.
Yeah, nobody really wants to think about that after the dog is licking their face. But, cats and dogs, depending on the breed, will go after something like that or kill it. But, again, very difficult to control, and you need certain products. There's also a product called Sluggo Plus. I don't mean to slug a certain product, but it controls slugs and also controls earwig, and it's Omri. Listed again, so it's for organic gardening, and it's something you could sprinkle in the garden, and they consume it, and it's a bacteria that, again.
So I'm really just not sure how to approach this show today. I mean, my thought is basically that we need to say there are ways to get rid of these things, but you've got to be of a certain strong constitution, and you need to look them up for yourself and see if you can bear what we're talking about here.
On a brighter note,
please.
Seeing lots of monarch caterpillars, I've got a plant in in my yard that has between 30 and 40 monarch caterpillars. And I'm going to send you a couple of pictures that you can put online of the caterpillars so folks know what they're looking at and know, you know, that that's one insect that we want to encourage to do damage in our garden, to plant things that they will consume and help recover that population that's been decimated over the last decade or so. So I'm going to send you a couple of pictures of monarch caterpillars so people can see it and know.
And say, these are good.
Yep.
We like these.
And they, there is one certain plant, it's the milkweed family, that if folks are really serious about wanting to do a little bit, even in their own yard, to help monarchs recover, it's the single best plant, and there's ornamental varieties in addition to the common milkweed that so much of us have seen. So they add beauty to the garden, and they also add a place for butterflies.
Well, and I know somebody who went out of town and they asked somebody to come over and feed their cat and their caterpillars because apparently they were working on, you know, growing some monarch caterpillars and trying to do their little bit for monarchs. So
I wonder what people charge for monarch sitting.
I don't know, but I've got some people that I can ask and I'll find out and I'll let you know. In the meantime, I'm left with this program that I need to try to figure out how to deal with because it's definitely a PG-13 verging on R rating on the show today just because of violence and bloodshed. So
I'm sorry about that.
You're not, Tom. You're not. TK, thanks for joining us. We'll talk to you again in a couple of weeks, okay?
Have a great week.
Tom Casper this morning. Tips for Hardy and Bloodthirsty Gardeners, a feature of every other week right here on KUMD.